Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. House maintenance and home improvement projects can be a daunting, daunting prospect. And if you're not handy with a hammer or interior design savvy, they can be impossible to do without the help of an outside contractor. It's easy to get in over your head. Don't worry, though. Darren Tracy joins us today. He's a licensed professional engineer with extensive experience in construction, renovation, and property management. He's a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He helms the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, which specializes in unique projects. And he's a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. So if you're planning a home improvement project or if you're stuck in the middle of something, a kitchen remodel or whatnot, well, give us a call right now, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. If you would like to tweet us, just tweet at WAMC Vox Pop, or, let's see here, Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You'll see a Vox Pop post there, or you can go to our website, WAMC.org. There's a Vox Pop page. You can comment right there. But basically, the calls are good. So call 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, we tried to get you on the show about a month ago. And Jessica said, no, he's scuba diving. And I said, well, what are you talking about? Well, you sent pictures. And what an amazing project. You were actually, I thought she was being flip. But no, it was absolutely true. You were underwater. What was this project?
It was a fun project in the Adirondacks, and it was a raising stabilization of a boathouse.
Wow.
A historic boathouse.
So how do you go about doing that?
Well, we assessed the problem and installed some cribbing.
What's cribbing?
Cribbing is a series of wood 6x6 logs stacked up log cabin style.
Mm-hmm.
To create a platform that you can jack off from.
Yeah.
And you would use that to jack up a home.
Right.
But this happened to be more complicated because it was underwater.
Right.
So therefore we had to do some scuba diving.
So you really did have breathing apparatus and went down there.
Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't deep, but it was deep enough so that you needed scuba gear.
So a boathouse is actually tethered to ground or does it float?
Well, some boathouses are totally surrounded by water and island-like, and some are peninsula. Most of them are peninsulas so that you can walk out.
Right.
So at least part of the boathouse is underwater so that you can float your boat in.
How long did that job take?
Surprisingly, it only took a week.
Really?
To do. The main part of the stabilization only took a week. We went back the following week, and we did some other work. We installed some come-alongs and turnbuckles to help plumb restabilize the building. But wow. The jacking only took a week.
So this was an historic boathouse. So you had special guidelines you had to follow?
Well, no, not really. Not really. I mean, we didn't do anything to the exterior of the boathouse or to the interior. We just saved it from going into the lake.
Well, that's an interesting job. I wouldn't want to do that in the winter, by the way.
No. And we had great weather. And even then, after you're in the water for a couple of hours, 3-4 hours, you start to get chilly.
So, okay, I'm trying to figure out. Now, you go in with scuba gear and you go down there, but how do you use any tools or anything underwater?
Well, fortunately, this lake was gin clear, really great visibility, and did not have a muddy bottom.
Right.
So we really didn't stir it up too much when we were doing the work because it's kind of a gravelly bottom. So we started off by leveling particular areas where we were going to build our cribbing, where we were going to jack from, and then just started building our cribbing. And you want me to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
By the way, if you want to call while we're talking, 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We're joined by Darren Tracy.
So the water added some difficulty to the project, but at the same time it helped us to a certain degree because we built our cribbing out of logs on land, and we were able to actually built them inside the boathouse and then pushed them into the slip and continued to build. And we made the cribbing out of basically green oak, which is almost neutrally buoyant.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to push the cribbing out in place, add a little bit of weight to it, and sink it down just where we wanted it.
Oh, perfect.
So in some ways, the water helped us.
I take it that you have had experience scuba diving before.
One of the first projects that we did was in Saranac Lake. in 1991. So,
You know, I took my boy down to a Mets game a couple of weeks ago, and we went over the Tappan Zee Bridge, and you can see the new bridge being built. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around how you would do a project like that, where you have large open spaces between the supports, and then how do you, in fact, get the roadway in between those, the long distance between the supports?
Well, I've only seen that particular project one time quickly, so I'm not sure exactly their strategy, but you've got to start with a foundation and get some good piles in and a series of those and start working your way from one pile to the next, one foundation to the next.
And the cranes on these boats, they must weigh so much. How can these boats even support them?
Well, again, you take advantage of what the water provides. You use the buoyancy capacity of the water to float these barges on barges or sectional barges.
Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. You also had a ribbon cutting recently.
That's right. Last Saturday, we went to ribbon cutting in Round Lake for a project called the Round Lake Preserve, which was a project for the town of Malta. They funded the project, and the purpose of the project was to preserve land and access to the Round Lake through a wetland, really nice wetland at the back end of Round Lake, which is the beginning of the Anthony Kill Creek, which flows down to Mechanicville and into the Hudson River. It's really a nice wetland. So the project, there's several parts of the project, and we were a subcontractor. Our part of the project was to build this wooden boardwalk, which was a couple hundred, 200-300 feet long by 8 foot wide, and it terminated with an overlook at the end and a kayak launch. Really cool project.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It was, and I encourage anybody who lives in the area where it would be feasible to commute to Round Lake to check that out, because it's really a special place.
And, check out the boardwalk, obviously, and admire the fine skill that went into working on it.
Well, thanks to our crew.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think I hammered a nail or drove a screw.
Well, but that's the way these executives are, Darren Tracy's our guest, 1-800-348-2551. But when it comes to scuba diving, you're all over it, man.
I was hands-on there. Yes.
That's very cool. So, well, that's good. We'll get to the phones in just a moment here at 1-800-348-2551. What else you got going on?
Not a lot, actually. Just recovering from this last project. We are in the part of what I do is engineering, and part of it is construction. So regarding this boathouse, phase two consists with coming up with a permanent foundation. So I'll be designing a permanent foundation for that.
Which would presumably be underwater, right?
It's underwater.
So how do you pour concrete underwater?
Well, that's not so hard. Exactly what we're going to do is I haven't figured that out yet. We're working on it.
All right, well, we'll get an update next time.
To pour concrete underwater, you form up whatever you're going to pour, and you use what's called a tremie system, where you pump the concrete through a tube down into the bottom of your formwork, and the concrete comes out and displaces the water as it fills up.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, in fact, that's what they would be doing down the Tappan Zee Bridge.
All right, back to the phones, and to the phones we go. Jim in Jefferson. Jim, you're first.
Thanks. I've got an issue with my roof where there's a little bit of a sag because I think the rafters are undersized. Is there any fancy fix to that besides... I don't know what else you would do, sister in other pieces or whatever. It's not a big sag, but whenever there's a lot of snow, I get a little bit antsy.
What I would suggest doing, Jim, is what you stated, and that would involve sistering or adding a dimensional piece of lumber next to your existing. Screw it right in, and it would have to rest on the top plate of your wall and go up to the peak of your roof.
Yeah, so you...
I mean, it's work. I mean, I'm not sure how accessible your attic is. If it's a tight attic, it can be a real nuisance, but, that's what has to be done, and you'd want to make sure you have some collar ties in there. Those are horizontal members that would tie one rafter to the other rafter so that the roof has a tendency not to spread.
Right. I mean, it's the problem is it's 4-on-12, so it's not a not all that easy to get access to you know, the part where the roof meets the side of the building. So
yeah, right. They're just difficult for access, but I can't think of a better, simpler solution. What type of roof surface do you have? Is it a metal roof or asphalt shingle roof?
I recently switched it from asphalt to metal, so the metal's a lot lighter than the... They'd put two layers of shingles up, and oh my God, there was a lot of weight.
Right. Well, that would help you out a lot in the wintertime because the snow would tend to fall off the metal roof more than the asphalt shingle roof. So that was a good move.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop, Home Improvement and House Maintenance Today. We're joined by Darren Tracy, and we'll be back to the calls in just a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Union College Concert Series, opening its 2015-2016 season October 15th. Pianists Emmanuel Ax, Yefim Bronfman, the Brentano Quartet, and more. Artists perform in 14 concerts from October to April. UnionCollegeConcerts.org. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive media displays, and commercial casework for corporate interiors, museum installations, and trade shows. EmpireExhibits.com. Pave Tile Wood and Stone, using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative and terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone, showroom by appointment and online, pavetile.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom design panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. And Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractic therapy, comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com.
Don't forget the lockbox is open and in operation at WAMC.org. The fund drive starts October 5th. That's a Monday morning, and our goal will be $1 million. Everything we raise now, between now and the beginning of the fund drive, counts on minute one. It's a great way to shorten the fund drive, get back to regular programming. WAMC.org. Click on the picture of the lockbox. You can find out more. It is Vox Pop on WAMC. Almost forgot the show I was on. It was midday about an hour and a half ago, but it's still Vox Pop. Darren Tracy is our guest. Back to the phones we go. And Susan in Sunderland. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling about a problem I have with storm windows.
Okay.
I have an old house. It was built in 1912. And my most of the windows in the house are old windows with sashes and old storm windows. I had the windows washed a couple of years ago, and that winter I found out that he'd put all the storm windows back in the wrong way.
Okay.
They were in the wrong sash, and I found that out because I was getting snow inside the windows.
Okay.
So we got them all turned around and put back in the right way, but some of them won't go all the way up now.
I'm not sure why that would be. They should go all the way back. Are they aluminum?
Yes.
I would check, swap around different units because there's no reason that they shouldn't go back up like they used to.
Swap around like they might be, it might be in the wrong window?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Possible, Susan?
Possible, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no other reason why they wouldn't go back up if they went back up before.
Okay, so try swapping them around.
Right.
Let us know how you did.
Thanks.
Thanks, Susan. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. It's Vox Pop. We're joined today by Darren Tracy. Let's say hello to Aaron in Greenfield. You're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have picked up a foreclosure. It's listed as built in 1900, but I suspect it's before then, and I think one corner of the foundation is sort of sagging. You can kind of feel it when you're walking the house. Everything is sort of slanted to one corner. And so I was going to try to jack up that corner bit by bit and see what happens. But
okay.
I guess my question is, I sort of been taking measurements of the slope and everything like that beforehand, before I do anything. And I want to Obviously, I don't want to harm any of the pipes, so I guess just looking for some advice about anything else I should do before I start bringing it up.
Okay, Aaron. Well, you mentioned getting a reference mark before you start, and that's a really good idea to determine how much you have in fact jacked up the building. Another thing that I would suggest is determine if it's actually a foundation problem or a rotted wood problem. Either of those could cause the floor to settle. Do you know if it's a foundation problem or rotted wood?
I suspect it's actually a rotted sill.
Okay. All right.
Part.
So you wouldn't be jacking up your foundation. You'd just be jacking up the wood, which is easier.
Yeah, okay.
Now, just gain access, and when you're jacking, set up your jacking such that you can get two jacks in there simultaneously, because you want to jack up with one, take the load off, and shim in the other location, and re-jack. You have to give yourself enough room for two jacks. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to take the jack out when you're done.
Right, yep. Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks, Aaron. We appreciate the call. Rena in Glenville. Rena, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm just trying to find out how I would source a mason. We have a 1960s house. The bricks were from the Alco building, I believe. And our chimney, the exterior especially, seems to be crumbling. And we noticed a few cracks around as well, so we were kind of advised we should get someone who's not just going to do a cosmetic job, which we have had people who said they could make it look better, but we wanted to get something, obviously, for structurally sound, to make the house more sound. And our problem is we've been trying since last year to source a reputable mason, and we don't know how to go about it.
Okay.
Kind of run out of.
Okay, Rena, I have a few suggestions for you. One, you could contact your local Chamber of Commerce. There may be some masons, or if not contractors, in that organization. If they're not masons, they could refer you to reputable masons.
Uh-huh.
You could also look for building organizations. You could search the web for local building organizations. Historical Society, you mentioned it's an old building. I would.
Oh, it's the 1960s.
Oh, 1960s, yeah. Okay. All right, so it's somewhat historical, but
yeah, I think
not ancient.
The bricks were recycled, so once they're nice, they obviously are getting a bit old, and I think we're a bit worried about going into another winter without getting something.
Okay. And one more place you could check, local masonry supply houses. They would have the name of mason contractors. Right.
Yeah.
Wherever they sell brick and block and mortar, check with them. Yeah. They would have a list of contractors. Getting tough this time of the year. This is one of the toughest times of the year. It's actually busier than the spring because people are trying to crank it out and get done before that white stuff starts coming.
Yep. Rena, thanks a lot for the call. It's Home Improvement and Such today with Darren Tracy. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. By the way, on our last program, the last time we were on, a couple of months ago, our buddy Doug, the drummer, old friend of mine, had, a water pressure issue. And you said you did some homework on that.
The problem, we were talking about fittings and friction loss in the fittings, and there is friction loss in the pipe fittings, but the main reason Doug is not getting water is because he's at the end of the line up a hill.
Ah, well, that would explain it. And so, how do you solve that? Get your own water tower?
Well, you can put in a little booster pump.
Oh, yeah.
You can put in a little booster pump, but for every 2.31 feet in elevation, you lose one PSI.
Ah.
So if he's up, say 23.1 feet higher than is everybody else, he loses 10 PSI, and I think he's up even higher than that. He might be up, say if he's 46 feet up, he loses 20-some PSI.
Wow.
23 PSI.
Well, I hope Doug is listening. I suspect he is, or practicing his drums. I mean, that's the other option he could be doing. Jeff in Matamoros. Jeff, you're on.
What's the best way to replace old rain gutters without actually totally replacing them?
Are these copper? Is this a historic home? Aluminum?
Some type of metal. They've been up there quite a long time.
Well, there are two options that come to mind. One is the vinyl gutters that you can buy at a hardware store and home improvement centers. And the other option that's probably the better option because the joints won't leak is a seamless gutter system. And that's where you hire a contractor to come, and they'll have a machine right in the back of their truck with long coil stock. And they will fabricate a gutter the whole length of your roof, the eave of your roof, without a seam. Hence, a lot of the companies call themselves seamless gutters.
Hmm.
But as far as just trying to patch it?
Yeah, it doesn't work very well. It really, patching doesn't work very well because water will just, it'll get through them. If it doesn't right now, you'll go through winter and have some freeze-thaw cycles. Hmm. Listen, if it's really on the cheap, what you could do is get up there and maybe line the positive side of the gutter, the inside of the gutter, with a membrane, cut out a little section of rubber roof, EPDM membrane, or some sort of patching compound, and coat the inside of that membrane with a silicone, and then push it down on the bottom of the gutter, making sure the gutter is really dry, and maybe sand that before you do that to create
the...
Say again?
Okay, I think we lost you there, but I think you get the point, Jeff. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jesse and Troy. Jesse.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm thinking about remodeling a bathroom, and I've got a nice cast iron tub, but the finish is not in great shape, the porcelain. It's not totally worn away, but it's also like a hideous color. And I was kind of pricing out new tubs, and they're so expensive. So I wondered... if you had any experience with these, people who come in and refinish a tub, and whether that's worth considering, or whether that's just, kind of a temporary fix, and I should bite the bullet, get a new one.
Okay, Jesse, I do have experience with old tubs, quite a bit of experience actually. The first house my wife Lisa and I built, we built on a shoestring, and we salvaged an old tub from somewhere. It was cast iron, and it was a little bit nasty on the inside, and we didn't have the money to have it professionally restored, so we did it ourselves, and it basically sanded it down. We may have etched it with a little bit of acid, and I think we brush applied an oil-based paint.
Uh-huh.
Gloss finish, and it came out acceptable, but it wouldn't make better homes and garden. But it was on the cheap. There are companies that do this professionally, and they do come out nicely.
I guess that's what I wasn't going to do it myself. I was going to hire someone. It seems like they're about $400 or $500 versus $2,000 for a new tub.
Right. If you look around, you can find these, and it's tough to find them in good shape. I actually renovated a house within the past year, and we salvaged the old tub, and it was in great shape.
Yeah.
And I think we sold it for $350.
Nice.
Something like that. And were happy to get the money and give it to a good home, and the people were happy to get it. So check around. Maybe you can find something that meets your needs in the local classifieds or Craigslist or wherever.
Right, right. Okay, great. Well, thanks for the advice.
You're welcome.
Jesse, thanks a lot. Our number to call on Vox Pop is 1-800-348-2551. Steve in Clifton Park. Steve, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Steve.
I have a couple of questions about a house that I own that has some crawl spaces under parts of the house. And I recently had radon mitigation done, and they put a vapor barrier down on the dirt floor under the crawl space, and one contractor told me that I needed to keep an open vent in that crawl space for ventilation to keep moisture from damaging the flooring of the room above. And the radon people said that because they sealed all the moisture coming from the ground out, that I didn't need to do that. I wondered what your opinion was.
Well, I got to tell you, Steve, this is one of my favorite subjects, crawl spaces.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's not because I like to crawl in them, and I have a lot of them. You said you had advice from one person that said vent to the exterior?
Yes.
Okay. That's wrong. That's old science. That's not crawl space. And when that warm air enters in there, it's got a lot of moisture in it, and it's going to cool off. And when it cools off, it condenses. It puts moisture in your crawl space. So it actually does the exact opposite of what you're trying to achieve, which is minimize the moisture in that space. So the proper building science on that is treat it like a miniature basement. So you do want to put that vapor barrier down, and you do want to condition that space, insulate the crawl space walls, and treat it like a miniature basement.
Huh.
Seal up that vent. That vent's a bad boy.
That's great, because I was kind of stuck in between, and I didn't know which way to go. Great advice. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. We appreciate the call. Darren Tracy, our guest, 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Steve in Fort Plain. Steve.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling. I have an old house, and I have water coming in my basement, usually in the spring when the snow thaws. And I was wondering, I already dug a niche because my well is a stone well that's 40 feet deep, and I dug a drainage, and I went through the well and to relieve some of it, which I thought it would. But I'm wondering if you feel that I should dig around the foundation to relieve the problem. Now, when it rains heavy, it also comes in. But during the spring, when the snow thaws, I get a lot of water, enough to have two pumps going for about 2 weeks straight.
Wow.
So I'm wondering, you know, what could I do about that?
What about the rest of the summer? Do you have water in the basement?
The rest of the summer is fine. If we get, like, heavy rain, the floor might get, like, a little, not damp, but just moist or something.
Okay.
You know?
Well, the Cadillac solution, Steve, is to put a drainage system around the base of your foundation and drain that to daylight if you have the proper grade on your property so that you won't have to run any pumps. Do you have is your property on a hill or is it totally flat?
It's kind of flat. I don't have a lot of pitch because when they put in the drainage from the well, because if the well rose, it would go through the pipe and then out it goes. There's not a lot of pitch. And then I couldn't go all the way down to the bottom of the foundation if, you know, when the guy said he would dig around the house. So I'm wondering if it's worth it to relieve most of the, would it relieve the water from coming into the basement as much as it does?
Okay, I didn't quite follow the initial part of your conversation about intercepting the well. What you can do is contact me after, and I'll talk to you more about that, and I'll give him my website.
Sure, go ahead. We also have the website linked on our page, but go ahead.
Okay, it's Darren@westbranchinc.com, and I'll talk to you more if you'd like about that well. But just to finish up about the foundation drainage, the Cadillac is to get a foundation drain around the perimeter of your foundation and run that pipe to daylight. If you can't do that, you can install a sump in the basement and pump it somewhere far enough away from your house and your well so it doesn't come back in. And here's another quick fix that I advise is make sure the grade around the foundation of your property is pitching away. There's a really high percentage of homes where the earth right next to the foundation is pitching towards the foundation instead of away from the foundation. When houses get backfilled, it's a good idea not to push against the foundation wall. You could damage it so the soil doesn't get compacted. So what happens over time, it naturally consolidates and you end up pitching towards the foundation. Water comes off the eave during a storm, hangs around that foundation, goes down in the basement, and creates problems. So if you can pitch the grade away, and you can even add some impermeable layer of a membrane down maybe 6 inches below grade to make sure no water goes down, and then cover that up with topsoil and plant grass or stone, keep the water away from the foundation.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the call. All right, let's take another caller before our next break. Joe in Albany. Joe.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been working on an old house here in downtown Albany. It's 1868. I basically am rebuilding it to modern code. I'm at the end of the framework, running the electrical and things like that, and I'm coming up on the insulation part. Now, the first floor, I used a non-faced fiberglass insulation with a 6 mil vapor barrier. The second floor, I want to do something different because it's the old shiplap that's behind it, so on the exterior before the asphalt shingle. And so I was thinking about the spray foam, but I don't know much about it, whether I should go with open cell, closed cell, what the difference is. Does it need to be fireproofed? So do I have to get a special kind there? Or Do you have any information on that? Have you used that before? And what advice can you give me on that?
I can help you a little bit on that, Joe. The difference between the open cell and the closed cell is that the open cell is more vapor permeable, and the closed cell is more expensive. The open cell would probably be adequate for what you need. You still do get pretty good R value out of that.
Right.
And spray foam, relatively new technology. If it's done well, it's a really good product. It's easier to do in walls than the attic. It's more critical in the attic. If you can't get to every little square inch, you can have moisture problems. You can have condensation problems, air cooling and condensing, similar to the last crawl space question or a problem that we just addressed. But it works really good on walls, and it works good for sound attenuation.
Okay.
It's a good product for the walls. The only drawback is cost.
Okay. Well, let's take a break right there. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Darren Tracy, our guest, it's Vox Pop. We'll be back for the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future, preservenys.org. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more, harolds.com. TJ's Taylor Rental and Party Plus, two locations, Route 9 in Hadley and Route 202 in South Hadley, providing tool and equipment rentals for homeowners and contractors. TJsTaylorRental.com. Schenectady County Historical Society, presenting the 55th Annual Stockade Walkabout, celebrating 3 centuries of Schenectady history and architecture, featuring tours of the insides of historic homes, churches, and spaces in the Stockade neighborhood, Saturday, September 26th, 11 to 5, SchenectadyHistorical.org. And Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost 3 decades. ShannonRose.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551, our number. Darren, Tracy, you wanted to finish up on that last question about the foam.
I do, right. Joe had initially mentioned that he was framing the first floor wall and then insulating that with fiberglass bat insulation and putting a 6 mil vapor barrier on the inside. And I just wanted to note that some of the building science is changing on that. In years past, that was the suggested method, but not so much these days. Some of the best building scientists advise not installing a vapor barrier on the inside. And the reason for that is because houses are becoming so tight, they would like them to be able to dry to the inside, outside. And if you put a vapor barrier on the inside, it doesn't allow it to dry. Also, the latex paint on the gypboard provides vapor barrier enough to keep to minimize moisture going out through the wall in the wintertime.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention that.
Fair enough. Let's go to Robert in Niskayuna. Robert.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I've been ripped off by a contractor to the tune of $70,000-$80,000.
Wow.
My complaints are in at the at the Attorney General's office, and the letters that come back to me clearly state that they won't get involved until there's more complaints about the contractor. So it leads me to believe that the state is always going to rule in favor of the contractor. I don't really have too many recourses because I have all the proof that the money was paid and he did not do the work, everything from the engineer's report to the bank check statements and whatnot. I'd like to hear what you have to say about that, and I could add one thing to your friend about the foam cell insulation. It's very dense, 900% more dense than any other insulation. It's highly flammable. It has to be coated with a second coating of foam in order to prevent have a fire prevention rating. I've had it done. It works very well. In any case, I'll hang up and wait for your response.
Okay, Robert, and thank you for not mentioning the name of the person involved, the organization involved in your legal dispute. So what do you think, Darren?
Okay, thank you, Robert, for also mentioning covering the spray foam. Yes, it has to be covered for flammability protection. I cannot help you out on the legal problem. Fortunately, I don't have much or any experience of that. In 28 years of contracting, we've never had a legal issue like that.
So satisfied customers.
Satisfied customers.
Good, good.
And thankfully, I don't have much experience with that.
Okay.
So sorry,
well,
I can't help you.
Probably a legal show would be the best
show, right?
Call there. Marianne and Troy. Marianne?
Hello?
Marianne? Are you there?
No.
Hello.
Diane.
Oh, Diane. It says Marianne. Hi, Diane. We'll call you Marianne just to keep it clear. You're on.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Carumba. Hello.
Hello.
You're on. Diane, hello.
Hello. I have a 1925 house, and on the upstairs, there's an attic space that's not vented, and I've got ice dams in the front of the house.
Okay.
In the wintertime.
Okay.
And there's a floor and everything, and then there's rafters. I don't know what to do about it. If I could do something on the inside.
Okay. You need to insulate the attic, invent the soffit, and the gable.
No, it's not the real attic space. The attic space is above that, and it's insulated. But this is it's a walk-in, like, storage spot.
Yeah, I'm not really following you, Marianne. If you could give me an email after the show, I'd be glad to talk to you more about that. I think I'm going to have more information.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And the email address once again, Darren?
It's darren@westbranchinc.com, darren@westbranchinc.com.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
Marianne. Be glad to talk to you.
Or Diane or whatever it turned out to be. Freddie in Connecticut. Freddie.
Well, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Good.
Okay, so here's my dilemma, and I guess, no, it's not a legal show.
Good.
I recently started doing pretty much what I consider just, you know, the grunt work on some construction sites. And one of the sites that we're working on, I found out today, did not get the appropriate permits for the work that we're doing. And I'm wondering whether or not me, just as a grunt, it could get in trouble if an inspector started snooping around.
Probably not.
Okay.
Not as an employee for another contractor. The contractor definitely could.
Okay.
All right. This is really taking an interesting turn. This program.
Let me just state, if there's an issue of health and safety, I wouldn't suggest proceeding if that was a concern. But if it's something else.
It's more of a concern of me just being, you know, taken away in handcuffs with the rest of the people.
Generally speaking, I wouldn't say so. The contractor, yes, but not the employee.
Your results may vary.
Yeah.
Well, I may hold you to it.
See you around. Over to Niskayuna. Mike, you're on.
Hi. Now, this could be a legal issue, but...
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's interesting how there's a rhythm to the questions.
Yes, you're correct, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
so I have a condo, and we have a wood flooring that, you know, we installed maybe 15 years ago. But currently what's happening is my tenants are complaining to the neighbors below are harassing them and are saying that, you know, they're being bothered by them, and the complaint is that they're hearing noise. So I wonder if there's anything we could do without losing the wood floors to sort of, other than carpeting.
Oh, so sound insulation.
Is it the noise of those dogs that we hear in the background?
Those are actually my two girls. But actually, I'm in a house.
Sorry. No, no offense.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that's a good question all the same.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm following this. There's the wood floors transmitting sound to the level below. Is that the problem?
Yeah, that's right. So it's the tenants are being harassed by the neighbors below who are complaining about the wood floor.
Okay. Well, I've had that problem in the past. I've had a historic home, and we wanted to retain the historic plank floors, and we did. But they tended to transmit noises to the floor below. So we put a carpet over top. You know, we didn't glue it down, so we're not damaging the historic boards below. We put carpet down with a foam pad, and that mitigated the sound problem. So I would advise that.
You got it to stick without having the carpet.
Good question. How do you get it to stick without the
tack strips around the perimeter? Little strips of wood. It's typically how you install a carpet on a wood floor anyways. Yep.
Okay, and that won't cause the floor to buckle or anything?
No, that won't cause the floor to buckle.
Oh, okay. Well, I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mike. Over to Gene in Albany. Gene.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Thanks. I have an older house, I think built in the late 20s, but I don't think that's relevant. I have a downstairs bathroom in the basement, and when I first bought the house about 10, 12 years ago, all the plumbing works fine. But sometimes since, and I don't use this basement bathroom hardly at all. So the cold water has stopped working. The sink and the toilet, when you turn the faucet through the cold water or you flush the toilet, the toilet doesn't refill, the sink won't have any cold water. So I assume the pipe is somehow, the supply pipe, has somehow gotten clogged or something.
Yeah, that's a little bit odd, but yes, I think you're right. And are they galvanized pipes or copper pipes?
I think it's copper at that point. You know, prior in the supply line, there's probably galvanized pipe.
Yeah, well, either a valve in the line may have been shut off by someone inadvertently, or the lines are clogged. That would be the only two explanations why you're not getting water out.
Right, so assuming it's clogged, how do I go about... Do I have to replace the load? I open it up at the end and see if I can maybe run something in there to...
You can try that. Open it up at the end, hoping to take your little faucet screen off and see if that helps. Make sure all your valves are on, and then go around the pipes and tap it with a hammer gently. Just keep tapping with a hammer. See if that helps. That's, if you get lucky, that might solve the problem.
Okay. If I had to replace it, what do you think about using that tech?
That's accepted by the building code in New York State. That's fine and quick to install, and most domestic water lines and new homes use that.
Okay.
Not a problem with it. Okay?
Thanks, Gene. 1-800-348-2551. Denise in Albany is next. Denise.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm wondering, I've got a house that was built in 1982, and it's got that popcorn ceiling. And somebody said, well, you may want to get that tested before you try getting it off to see if it has any asbestos.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1982, I don't think it has an asbestos.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No.
So we can just, you know, get those scrapers out and get that off there.
Yeah, you can do that. I suggest a Google internet search on that, but
okay.
Since it's 1982, lead paint doesn't come into play either.
Oh, good.
I think the cutoff date for that manufacturer was 1978. So if you're after 1978, I think you're okay.
Unless they had old stock sitting around.
Well,
I mean, you might want to just...
You know, it was a fairly straightforward question.
I don't know. This is getting to be a real legal show.
Yeah.
I would Google this. I would lawyer this, yeah. Denise.
Yeah, but
there
I want to give some answers here. I just don't want to defer.
Well, it's all right. Fair enough. Hey,
you don't want to just be everything Google, no.
No.
Right.
Then why have a show, frankly?
Right.
So. There you
have
go.
A show.
Right. Denise, right. Thanks a
I
lot.
I think you're okay all with right. 1982.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
You bet. All right. Over to... Mervet in Connecticut, is that your name?
Yes.
You're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you for a great show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. My son is doing kitchen and other several renovations in-house in Framingham, Massachusetts, and he's had trouble finding a reliable contractor. He tried the websites that are well-known, and either not show up or give him a quote that is beyond what he thinks it's worth.
Okay.
Is there any way for him to find out a good, reliable contractor? And if he gets a quote, is there a way to do a comparison or see what, for similar jobs, usually the charges are?
That's interesting, like a going rate. Like they do with an automotive, where you have the book and you can see what it should be by the hour.
Some contractors charge by the hour. So you can compare that way. The problem with that is you don't know how many hours a particular project's going to
right.
take to finish. And that's right. why a lot of people would defer to a lump sum fixed price contract.
Is Angie's List? I've never tried it. Is that something
I've never
where you...
tried it either. Yeah, I've heard about it. But let me tell you a couple other... And I'll just restate what I stated earlier. Your local Chamber of Commerce, your local building supply stores...
Okay, they usually not willing to give out names for, I guess, legal reasons or whatever.
I find that surprising because they sell their material to these contractors, and it helps them by giving their names out.
I know it should, yeah, but I know in our area here, I tried to get the contractors to them, and they declined.
Huh? You're in the darn.
Yeah, I would continue to ask more building supply stores. If you're not getting the right answers out of the ones that you've asked, ask more because that's a really good way to get names. Also, ask your friends and neighbors. It's a really, really good
way. Usually, my experience is that when I find a really great contractor and he's been tried by our friends, they are so busy to actually add another.
Right. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. Yeah. Good contractors typically are busy, but there are always up and coming contractors, and there's this short period of time where you can get a really good up and coming contractor before they get too big and too busy.
Yeah.
And those are the ones you want to catch because you can typically get a project for a better buy.
Well, thank you, Mervyn. We appreciate the call. That's interesting, though. Yeah, it makes sense. The good contractors are always busy, so you have to either be patient or find somebody who is new and take your chances.
Right, and it's nice to get that contractor that's new, that's capable and energetic, and who can give you a price at maybe a pretty good deal on a project. And they come and they go.
Right. Well, the whole business about paying by the hour sounds insane because the less competent contractor will take longer to do the job and you'll be paying more.
Right.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
All right, we have about a minute or two left here. Let's go to Diane in Cooperstown. Diane, you have about 30 seconds to ask your question.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Great show.
Thanks.
I have a very tall A-frame, basically, roof pitch, a steep pitch. I went up into my attic. It's just crawl space. It's not attic. It's crawl space, but there's lots of room. It's 10 feet to the top, or 12 feet even.
Okay.
Soffits. It's ridge roof vented, although it's very tight, and the soffits that go down with the beams, how it was built, they put a 2x something straight across the base, so you can't put those plastic things to vent. So what happened there?
All right, you got about 30 seconds, Darren, or even less.
Okay. I don't totally understand your description because you're talking about soffits going down with the... With a beam. Well, let me just say this. Somehow you need to get the air from the eave up to the ridge. That can be done by drilling holes in any dimensional wood that's not structural. Why don't you give me a call or contact me by email after, and we can talk about
all right,
this.
All right, well, we're out of time, so give your email address right now one more time.
Okay, it's Darren@westbranchinc.com, DarrenWestBranchInc.com.
And we have the link on our website. Wow, a difficult program today.
That wasn't bad.
All right, you did
fun. I had fun.
Thanks to Darren Tracy for being here. Support comes from Interim Healthcare, providing companions aids at nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. InterimHealthcare.com. Washington County Tourism, presenting the Southern Adirondack Fiber Festival, September 26th and 27th at Washington County Fairgrounds. Vendors, workshops, classes, animals, food, and entertainment. WashingtonNYCounty.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com. And Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com, and on Facebook. Thanks again to Darren Tracy. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phone's answered by Bruce Herbach. Jessica Blaustein, Marshall, our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, I think it's Gordon Fricke. We'll talk cars and trucks. The news is next.